on this day, probably as I was reflecting on things, is that outside of Easter and Christmas, this is probably the day in the calendar year that is the most exciting. It is the opportunity for us to hear and to witness not only the obedience of three individuals, but to see how God has worked and continues to work marvelously in the lives of people. I've had the opportunity over the last 6 or so weeks, along with Demi and Muscofian, to teach our baptismal candidates. We've looked at different aspects of the beliefs of the Bible in terms of salvation, what it means to have assurance, what it means to live as Christians, and then, of course, looking at the whole biblical concept of what is baptism. And so I'm excited that they are going to be sharing with us this morning their testimonies. They're a little nervous, as we all are at this time in these things, and maybe you're a little nervous for them, so maybe throw up a little prayer on their behalf as they come up. And so we're going to take this in order, and Leo is going to come first, and he's going to share what Christ has done in his life. And then Marilyn will come, and then Kathy. So please, come.
Good morning. I'll try to not have my voice be nervous and a lot of people. So I didn't grow up in a Christian home or a home that God was really a part of. As you can say that I knew of God, but he never was a part of my everyday life. I never bothered to know him up until I was 18 years old. My life was what I thought to be a normal one. I went to school, spent time with friends, go on vacation, you know, the usual. It wasn't that I didn't want to know God or learn about him. It was I thought it was not something I needed. I assumed that God could not bring any sort of meaning or purpose to my life. I was blind. And during my last year of high school, I began to really question myself, question my life and God, and try to understand why so many people believed in him, and why so many people depended on him and looked to the Bible for advice, and ultimately, why did people base their entire life around God? And I tried so many different roads. I looked at so many different religions. You could even say that I was even desperate to know God. To me, at the time, it didn't matter the way, as long as I could find him. But of course, I wasn't getting anywhere on my own, and the only thing I was getting was frustration and anger. I thought I got to the point where I would leave God behind and just go about my life without him. Go back to how my life was before I started searching for him. And then one day I thought to myself, maybe I was going about it the wrong way. Maybe the environment where I am is not the right place to know God. Maybe there are things around me that are holding me back. And then I had a thought, and in hindsight, it was a pretty crazy thought. And the thought was, why not go to where everything started? I'll for sure find answers there. Before I give up, I'll give it one last try. And so I said, let's go to Israel. And so I did for 2 years. I met people from all over the world, from every religion you can think of. I traveled the entire country. I studied in different universities there, read more books than I can remember. I visited the holiest of places, from the second grounds of where the Holy Temple stood, to the Western Wall, to the Alaska Mosque, to even the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That was, even practicing, that was hard to say. Where it said that Jesus was buried and resurrected there. I went and walked everywhere in that country. I even saw people crying in awe of where they were standing, crying because they could even feel God and his presence. I saw people fall to the ground because they couldn't hold themselves up for the reason that they were convinced that God was before them. can still remember my friend Aviv at 3:37 in the morning in the old city of Jerusalem, whose mom had just passed away from cancer 4 days ago. And I woke up because he was crying. He was crying out of happiness because God came to him during the night and reassured him that his mom was with him and that everything was going to be good. And what about me, you might ask? Well, to me, I felt like I was a spectator. I was observing people go through all kinds of spiritual moments and experiences. And the only thing that came to my mind was, what about me? Where's my experience? Where's my moment with God? There I was, doing all this work, and nothing is happening. And giving it all I got, my best, and it truly felt like I was just forgotten, and just not cared for God. But then, that's the thing about God. He works in his own time, and his will is done when he chooses it to be, not when we want it to happen. We always think that we know better. We're selfish and arrogant. God only shows us what he wants us to see. And I was trying to tell God how to do his work. I was telling God, why aren't you giving me what I want when I want it? Why are you being unfair with me? I spent 2 years trying to find God, spent 2 years walking in the dark, and spent my whole life blind. For we live by faith and not by sight. And if you ever try walking with your eyes closed, you'll know what I mean when I say that you won't get very far. I sure didn't. And so I decided that my time in Israel was done and decided to go back home. Not accomplishing what I wanted to, it was really disheartening. And after all that work that I did, seeing how it didn't get me anywhere, I just gave up. I wasn't going to try anymore. So I just went on with my life. Another 2 years went by, and I gave him up all hope of ever trying to get to know God. He wasn't even a thought in my mind anymore. And then out of nowhere, everything changed when I met this girl from Brazil, now my fiance. And it was at that moment when I felt God open my eyes to his glory and to slowly take off my blindfold. It wasn't the way that she looked or the way she spoke or even the fact that in my eyes she was the woman of my dreams, the woman that I've been looking for all my life, because not only was I looking for God, I was also looking for my life partner as well in those years in Israel. I know I was pretty ambitious at the time. I was looking for my soulmate, and the thing was that from the second I saw her, I could feel this energy, I guess this aura around her, and I couldn't figure out for the life of me what it was. And looking back at that moment now, I can say that it was the Holy Spirit, that it was with her. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And God, bless his name, gave that to her, and I'm so grateful that he did. It was the biggest blessing that God has ever given me so far, and truly, in my mind at the time, it felt like it was the only one. I was so blessed at the time, I didn't even know myself. Because God put this woman in my life who was and is so strong in faith, with such a deep love for Jesus Christ, who thanks him every single day of her life for everything he does for her, and she's someone who truly depends on him. I feel like he performed a miracle in my life, because thanks to God, who used her to get to me, I got to know who Jesus Christ is. I got to know his word, and most importantly, I got to experience God in my life for the first time. And that's what I thought, at least. It wasn't because of her that I got to know Jesus. It was because of the Holy Spirit. It's because Jesus Christ removed the blindfold off my head and allowed me to finally see. It was because Jesus chose me to follow him and gave me the power to believe. Now, I can't really pinpoint the time or the day that I believed in Jesus. For me, it's more gradual. The more I learned about him, the more I prayed, the further I went in my faith, and the deeper I went into God's word, the more I understood and believed in Christ. And as the days went on, I found myself praying before starting work. I found myself praying every night before going to sleep. I found joy in opening the Bible and learning from God's word. And found comfort in turning to him and asking for help. And I love that I can finally pray and know that it's not just anyone listening to me, but it's Jesus hearing my prayers and answering them. And there will never be enough praise or worship that I can do to thank him for saving me. And then a few months later, one afternoon, I thought, okay, this is it. I did it. It may have not been the way I wanted to, but I'm here. I made it. I'm happy. I found purpose. God chose me to follow him. He gave me the most amazing woman in the world. But like I mentioned before, I was arrogant. And how the Lord gives, he can also take away. And in the months that followed, I lost my family because of my choice to follow Jesus. It was not something they approved of. I also found rock bottom. And that, unfortunately, I found pretty fast. Didn't take me 2 years. And I thought I was never going to get out. And that truly means a lot coming from me. Because as someone who, in my time in Israel, I survived a terrorist bombing in Israel where I was almost left paralyzed for life. Or 9 months later, after surviving another terrorist attack in a supermarket, being held at gunpoint with friends and kids, or even going rock climbing with friends and watching one of them slip from above me, feeling his fingertips slide over my hand as I did my best to try and catch him, only to have him hit the ground from 30 feet. Or even running for my life as I saw missiles above my head being fired by terrorists in Gaza. None of those things were as bad or could come close to what it felt to lose my family. But this time it was different. Because this time I had where to turn to, who to depend on. I had someone that I knew would take care of me. This time I had Christ with me. Because God is my salvation, I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. I also lost lifelong friends I made. I had lots of sleepless nights, and I lost count of the times I cried myself to sleep at the thought of never seeing my family again. And I'll be honest with you guys, there was a lot of times where I questioned myself, time and time again. Am I doing the right thing here? Is this what it takes? I thought I was supposed to find comfort, relief, or joy in God. But every time this thought would come to my head, every night as I lay in my bed at 2, 3, or even 4 in the morning, not being able to sleep, or even when I would wipe away the tears from my face, I would look over at my nightstand and see the beautiful Bible my fiancé got me. And then I would remember again everything that Christ has done for me, all the blessings he has given me, how my life has changed, the peace that he has given me, and the place in heaven he's saving for me. And I often think of Ecclesiastes and the preaching that Pastor Tony was giving before Easter. And when he said that everything under the sun is meaningless and nothing matters here on earth. And honestly, that's how I always felt before knowing God, before knowing Christ. Committed sins because I thought at the end of the day nothing matters and the life is meaningless. But we all know that this is not true. It's not true because God gives us meaning, gives us strength to keep going every day. And He is the reason why I'm still here and why I am alive now. He's my rock and my redeemer and the reason why I'm getting baptized here today.
My name is Marilyn Homer. I was born in a loving home in 1963. I'm the youngest of four children. I grew up in Fort Garry, and my family regularly attended a Catholic church. I went to Sunday school, and in 1971, when I was eight, I participated in my first communion. Later on that same year, my parents built a cabin in Sandy Hook, and that was the end of church for my family. Our weekends and holidays now consisted of going to the lake. I grew up in a generation where children were seen and not heard, and God was not spoken about in our home. Dinner prayers were restored for special occasions, hugs from my parents were rare, and the words, "I love you," were barely spoken, but I knew I was loved. I met Curtis in 1988, and we were married in 1990. In December 1995, we were blessed with the birth of our son, Travis. 4 weeks later, after his birth, my mom passed away, and I was devastated. Here I was, a new mother, with no clue how to raise a family and making funeral arrangements. I felt lost and alone. While packing up her room, I found a book that she had been reading, In Search of God's Footprints. It made me think, after all these years of not going to church, she was still searching for God. It made me think, where was God in my life? Now that I look back on my younger years, I can see that God never left me. He was always there, looking out for me. In 1998, after a complicated pregnancy and birth, we were blessed with our daughter, Leah. We were living in the north end of Winnipeg, busy working, raising a family. I felt something was missing in my life, and I wanted to go to church. I told Curtis this, but he didn't want to go with me. In the summer of 2000, Curtis came home from, of course, a fishing trip, and he told me that he had met a pastor that was really nice, and he had invited us to his church, and did I want to go? I immediately said yes. I didn't care what church it was or where it was. I just wanted to go to church. The pastor he met was Pastor Q, and the church was Waverly. This began my relationship with Waverly Church, and I soon realized what was missing in my life was God. I confessed my sins and told God to come into my life, and I began my search and personal relationship with God. Living in the North End, I started to see how different my life was compared to my neighbors, how blessed I was, and I started to think, why did God bring me here to live? My question was soon answered when my children began school, and they would bring home friends that had no food for lunch, food for dinner, or parents that would not take the time to walk their own children to school or pay any attention to them. My home became a safe place for many neighborhood children, and on Sundays, we often had extra children with us when we came to church. About 5 years ago, I had left Waverly and attended a different church. In January 2018, again, I was feeling something was missing in my life, and after a lot of prayer, I realized it was a church family. But a year and a half ago, I felt God directing me to return to Waverly and to reunite with my church family. Through God, I have a more positive outlook, as I know that God will help me through any situation that He brings me to, as long as I pray about it and ask for His guidance. I have learned how to forgive someone who has hurt me, and I have learned how to forgive myself for not doing or saying something that I should have. I have learned when my world gets too heavy, I need to give it all to God. Or I could, if I try to figure things out on my own, just mess it up and I won't succeed. But with God's help through prayer, I'll be okay. I believe God is who he says he is, for he is my Savior, my Redeemer, my Protector, my Teacher, my Guide in life, and without him, I have no hope. So why am I getting baptized today? I'm very much a behind-the-scenes person. I don't like the center of attention or being in the spotlight. So now I feel at this time in my life that I'm called to step out of the shadows and out of my comfort zone and be obedient. The scripture that I've chosen is from Jeremiah 29:11-12. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for the welfare and not for evil, to give you future and hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Thank you.
As a child growing up in Dauphin in the 70s, late 70s, we were allowed to go pretty much anywhere we wanted and would go as far as our bikes would take us. This meant that we were not supervised either. So, my brother, myself, and our friends would find ways to occupy our free time. Things like going on private property and pulling up flowers, or throwing rocks at windows, or climbing the fence at the fairgrounds where they kept the horses, and riding them bareback, which was actually a lot of fun, until my best friend fell off and ended up in the hospital. She ended up being fine, though, just a mild concussion. We would go on to construction sites and climb on all the boards and rafters until my brother put a nail through his foot one day. After a tetanus shot, he was also fine. We also liked to torment little kids and get them to steal candy for us or offer them candy to go say something bad to their parents. We really didn't have any boundaries, and unless we got caught, we would continue to do mischievous things. In other words, I was a brat. One evening, when I was 10, a group of us decided to go to this concert that was in town. We had no idea what kind of concert, but it was free, and it was something different to do. The concert turned out to be a Lundstrom concert, and they were singing gospel music. We made fun of the music the whole time it was playing, but inside I was drawn to what they were singing about. After the singing, one of the men spoke about God, Adam and Eve, and sin, which I'd never heard before. The only exposure I had to God was through my grandparents, especially my grandma, who would always sign our birthday or Christmas cards, God loves you, or God bless you. And occasionally, we would go to the Lutheran church when my grandma and grandpa were in town, or when we would go visit them in Saskatchewan. I don't recall hearing about sin, or repentance, or needing to acknowledge Christ's sacrifice on the cross. I was intrigued then by what this man was saying, and listened intently at his words. I was drawn to the fact that God loved me, in spite of all the bad things I had done. At the end of the concert, they did an altar call, and we, jokingly, dared each other to go up front. Laughing on the outside, I went forward to the stage, but when I bowed my head and closed my eyes, and the man on stage began to pray and ask us to repeat what he said, I found myself feeling very serious, and suddenly I didn't care what my friends thought. And I knew that I had to ask God to forgive me of all my sins, and I had to thank Jesus for taking my place on the cross, and it overwhelmed me to know that he did that for me. After praying, we all met with someone one-on-one. This very nice lady spoke to me and asked if I had accepted Jesus, and I said yes. With tears in her eyes, she gave me a big hug and said how happy she was. She gave me some material to go home with and told me to start reading my Bible. And I did. The King James Bible that my grandma had given me got dusted off, and I started reading every night. It was difficult to understand, being that I was only 10, and the King James is hard to understand for most people. But that didn't stop me. I read it every night, and I could not stop reading it. I felt like a different person on the inside. Fast forward 40 plus years, and I am as grateful now as I was then for God drawing me to him and that he is with me always, even if I don't feel his presence or even want his presence. He is faithful. And there have been many, many times where I have not acted in a very Christian manner, but I thank God for his patience and his gentle prompting to bring me back to his word and his direction. Do I need to ask God to forgive me? Yes. But as his child, he does not hold my sins against me or withdraw his love from me ever. One struggle I have is learning to fully trust God and that he has my life and my future in his hands. This has been really hard for me, especially when I have gone through the loss of all my grandparents, both my parents, my mom at only age 57, and my only sibling, my younger brother, at age 37, along with much childhood and adult abuse, and now chronic illness, which leaves me uncertain as to my employment or physical future. Also, as part of my trust issue, I wonder how or why God would use me for his glory at this time, because it would be better if I was healthier or stronger or had more money, or if I was slimmer. Yes, I've even believed that God can't use me as long as I'm overweight. But God is good. He has allowed me to go through all the not-so-pleasant experiences in my life, put me at my current job, and he does not see my limitations. As Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. God can use me at my work and among my friends, and he can use me to bless those I come in contact with through his strength and his wisdom. As part of that trust, I want to be obedient to God today by following the example of Jesus and be baptized through submersion and publicly declare my faith and trust in him.